You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is VIP. So you walk into a room, let's say this were to happen. You walk into a room and Jesus is in the room. Who is the most important person in the room? And that applies to any room, anywhere, anytime throughout history. You put Jesus in the room and he immediately becomes VIP because there is no one more important in the universe in all of history than Jesus, right? So if that is your definition of a very important person, then you got to look at sooner or later who he was, how he behaved, how he engaged, how he showed up. And if that's what he did and he is our example, then how do we look in comparison to that? Go to Genesis chapter 1. So let's ask another question. Would you be considered VIP? Are you a very important person? Okay. Now, the people who shouldn't raise their hands that want to raise their hands are the screwed up ones. And you think, well, where do these sermons come from? I hate to admit this, but I got some of this trouble. And so this isn't going to be all fun for me today. The only thing that makes me important and makes you important is that the ultimate VIP decided to come and live and die on a cross and be buried and raised from the dead for you. That makes you important. And when you don't understand something like that, then what we all do is try to find some way to feel better about ourselves. Think positively. I'm somebody. You can't just, there's a lot of preachers out there just blah, 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 telling you positive, positive, positive. And it's your promise is coming. You're going to win. You're like, dude, sometimes you lose. Sometimes you get sick. Some people die. So just saying a bunch of positive stuff, it's going to help maybe, but you got to have positive things based in scripture or you're just talking. So when people try to pump themselves up to try to feel better about themselves on things that aren't based in scripture or Jesus, it's usually an insecurity of some kind. I've got to prop myself up. I got to have things around me. So let's do a few more questions. So are you more important than someone else because you're educated? I know those people say no. Obviously for them, the answer is no. But a lot of people think, I'm educated. I'm like uber educated. Master's, doctorate, whatever. So I'm an important person. Maybe you got money. Maybe you got a nice car. Maybe you got a nice house. Maybe you got a really important job. But here's the danger. We start walking around thinking that these things that are accessories to our life, maybe you're beautiful and that makes you more important. You think, well, they're going to let me in because I look better than other people. Or I got nice clothes. Whatever this stuff is. But then you got Jesus showing up, born in a stable, raised by a carpenter. He got nothing. And he's the leader. He's the boss. He's the example. And then I get all puffed up and bowed up. And I think sometimes, it's not like Jesus comes up and says something. He's on the inside. And if you're listening, he'll go, like, it's in the Greek dude from Dudas. It's not true. Please don't write me a letter about that. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Get out of the way. Let me be here. And if you let me be here, there's going to be humility. I'm going to serve. I'm not going to be served. I'm not going to try to be on the top. I'm going to get down here below everybody and let me be me in you. No, no, no. Nobody will see me then. It's not about him seeing me. It's about him seeing him. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image. So not like a cow, not like a goat, not like a snake, He says, this is going to be different. Our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And by the way, that is still the truth. Psalm 8, 4 and 5. So you must have value if God made you in his image. Psalm 8, 4, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. So now, on the other end of this very important person spectrum are people who feel like zero, no self-esteem, feel like they have no value, you're worthless, you've never accomplished anything, the devil just pummels you, beats you down, and that's not biblically appropriate either. Because if this is how God defines you, you can't define yourself another way. Matthew 10, go down to verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Nothing. And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. So God knows when every bird drops. I almost hit two squirrels this morning. They were slow. It wasn't my fault. And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. Why? For you are of more value than many sparrows. When are you going to figure out if God loves sparrows? Of course he cares about you. Matthew 20. And by the way, this crosses all kind of lines. I think sometimes women feel, you know, I'm not a man. I was born a woman, and women don't have the advantages, and that's my problem. I was born Hispanic, and I'm discriminated against because I'm brown. I was born black. Stop complaining about how God made you. Live in the vessel he gave you, and let's go. Stop making excuses for why God can't use you. It's crazy stuff. Oh, I don't have the same opportunities. Who is going to stop a child of the king? Is that who you are? Then stop going into rooms acting like you're nobody, right? All this nonsense about, oh, white people have this and that. Okay, maybe so, but I'm not limited by that. I can't reach some black people because I'm white. Now what am I supposed to do? They won't come. He's white. I'm going to go listen to some white preacher. He can't even hoop. You haven't heard me try yet. I get Patrick up here cording for me. I can go. And the Lord said, I say the Lord said. Can I get a witness? I heard a judge say that in the courtroom one time. Can I get a witness? And he didn't know what that meant. Yeah, so enough already of the excuses. Enough. If he lives in you, it's him. Matthew 20, verse 20. This argument. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. So she's like, hey, can my boy sit next to you when you're on your throne in heaven? Like, I appreciate her boldness, right? I don't even know if that's what they wanted. Mom, stop already. We're grown men, you know, leave us alone. Go down to verse 20. They went through all that. Then verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself because the other 10 are upset about this thing that's going on. Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are the great exercise authority over them. So greatness gives you the ability to exercise authority over people. Now, please say a little prayer before I read this to you. Yet it shall not be so among you. Now, listen to what he says. But whoever desires to become great among you, you say, I want to be great in this world. Here's the answer. Let him be your servant. I don't want to be anybody's servant. Then you'll never be great, according to Jesus. If you're not willing to serve, you will never experience godly greatness. That's what it says. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your servant. First among you, let him be your slave. It gets worse. You want to be great? Servant. You want to be first? You got to be a slave. Just as the Son of Man, so what is he comparing it to? I'm telling you how to do it the way I am doing it. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You want to be great? You want to be first? Serve, slave. That's the answer. And you say, I don't want to be anybody's servant. I don't want to be a slave. I want people serving me. I want people being my slaves. Then you'll be nobody. It is so hard to spin this around, and you can't do it without Jesus. But when he moves in, he shows you what this is. Matthew 23:12. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. If you lift yourself up, he will put you down. You allow yourself to be humbled, he'll lift you up. Well, why is that? Because if you've humbled yourself, you are more able to handle being exalted, because you realize it's not about you. John 13:3. If you've got any excuses left, this will shatter them all. Last Supper before Jesus dies, John 13:3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garment. So he takes off his clothes, took a towel, girds himself, wraps himself up with a towel. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So people say to me, well, I would like to have some position in the church. I say, wrap yourself up in a towel, get a basin filled with water, and wash some feet. Oh, no, you don't understand. I'm looking for a position. That is the position. No, I was thinking of something higher. That's where we all start, because that's what Jesus did. John 13:14. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Stop coming up with other stuff. Just do what he did. Do what he said. We want to be something else. Servant, slave, that's where he says that's the stuff. And what do churches do? We flip this thing. Sometimes churches get the worst people to lead. They're arrogant, they're rich, they're smart, they're whatever. Nothing wrong with having money, but they're not servants. You have to be a servant, a slave. You got to be willing to serve other people, not want to be served, be recognized. It just makes you crazy. My job as an elder, as a pastor, is not to be served by you. My job is to serve you. Make sure you're okay. You can check on me, but my job is to make sure you're okay. That's what shepherds do to sheep. Now, I love being a shepherd, and I love you all, right? So we're trying to model something here. So take care of people. Take care of people. Stop sitting around waiting for somebody to come fix you. Get him on board, let him live, and he will live in and through you. And you can't imagine how you change the world if you'll just stop trying to get it to come your way. You seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All this stuff is added. God takes care of me as I go. I lack nothing. I'm embarrassed. If you came to my house, I can't figure out how this happened actually, but it's been really cold recently, and I got out my overcoats. I bet I have 7 wool long overcoats. And I thought, how did this happen to me? It's my wife's fault. I finally realized how it happened. Because in trying to love her and spend quality time with her, she loves going to thrift stores. So I go to a thrift store and I walk down the aisle and there are all these coats on the rack. And there's a $1,200 coat for 12 bucks and I get sucked in. And I buy another coat. I can't possibly wear all these coats. You're all thinking, so what you gonna do? I got to figure out a way to get rid of them. And you say, well, that should be easy. Just give them away. Yeah, tell me about that. You tell me all about that. Let's go to your house. See, it's not so easy all of a sudden. Well, we don't like it now. And part of the reason I bought them for 12 bucks and 20 bucks is I knew if I got out somewhere in that coat and I saw someone cold, I hadn't spent 1,200 bucks on it, I could just give it to somebody and be okay. So why do I still have the coats when it's cold? We're crazy people. And I'm gonna be real honest with you, what goes through my mind? I'm in that coat, I see somebody cold, and I think if I give this $1,200 coat to that guy, he's gonna get it dirty and won't appreciate the coat. Have I lost my mind? Right? So I better keep it so that I can take care of it and collect more coats. Now, I hate being that honest, but hopefully it will uncork you, because I ain't the only crazy person in here. Right? So if you need a coat, I got some coats. I got all kinds of sizes because I kind of fluctuate. You know, I kind of fluctuate. I'll get you one, though. Oh my gosh, life is so nuts. What's the last one I read? John 13, Romans 8, 16. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, so I know because the Holy Spirit lives in me that I'm his child. His spirit bears witness with my spirit, I'm his child. Now, you think, oh my, that's amazing. It doesn't stop there. And if children, then heirs. When my wife and I die, our things, our stuff will be left to who? The Salvation Army. So, no, it won't. They're like, what? Where does your stuff go? To your heirs. So why is it so important to be in God's will? Because when somebody dies, you get his stuff, and he done died. So everything that is his, because I'm an heir, is mine. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So I have access, because I'm a joint heir of Christ, to the kingdom, everything in it. So you think, well, I'm poor. How could you possibly be poor when you're an heir to the kingdom? You say, well, I don't have a lot of stuff. You don't understand what poor is then. The real poor people are the people without Jesus. Now, you may have a bunch of stuff, but you don't have Jesus, you got nothing. And then Romans 12, 1, or go down to verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you. Now listen closely to what this says. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So the Bible nowhere says don't think highly of yourself. How can you not think highly of yourself when you know God loves you and you have value, you're important because he says you're important. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So don't think poorly of yourself. I ended up in an event the other day and Jason Aldean, anybody know who that is? So Jason's singing and when it was over, I got out in the hallway and there he was coming the other direction. I jumped over and said, hey, thanks for coming. And that was it. At the airport the next morning, I see Jason Aldean. And I go up to him and my brother's with me, my wife's with me. We start talking and I said, you know what I said? And I had him up against the wall. He couldn't go anywhere. So I said, okay. Drop dead right there. Where are you going? And he said, well, man, you know, I don't go to church. I said, Jason, I'm not talking about church. He said, well, I've done some stuff in my life. And I said, Jason, I'm not talking to you about that. I'm talking about whether you have a relationship with Jesus or not. So then his manager came over, we exchanged numbers. And he said, well, you probably ran him off. He won't want to be your friend. I'm not trying to be his friend. I may never see him again. I'd like to see him in heaven, and there's only one. And I told him, I said, dude, I'm not here for a picture. I'm here for you. And then he finally, you know, de-escalated a little bit and found out he had become a Christian. But he was all caught up in what he had done and not going to church and dealing with his past and his life. These people are everywhere. It's not that lost people aren't out there. It's that you're not there. You're there, but you're not there. I'll tell you one more crazy story. I ended up on a friend's plane the other day. It's his plane. The pilot got up and I'd shared that I'd taken flying lessons in my 20s. And, you know, so the pilot got up and I got in his seat. So that puts me in the pilot's seat and the co-pilot trapped and he can't go anywhere because he's really the only one flying the plane. So guess what I asked him? Right. So we get to talking. And he can't go anywhere again. Share the gospel. And at one point, he physically backed into the corner. And he said, you know, I got this personal kind of thing that I don't talk to people about religion and politics. I said, you're in luck. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus. And about 3 minutes later, he got saved. So. Now, why do I keep telling you these stories? Before I got on that plane, before that whole trip, before that day began, I'm like, okay, Lord, I know I'm not going on this trip just to go on some trip. It's about people. You just make it about the trip. You say, well, I need a break. I'm going on vacation. Go on your vacation, but don't tell everybody to go to hell just because you're on vacation. Oh, sorry. Can't tell you about Jesus because I'm on vacation. There is no vacation from being present and letting Jesus live in and through you. What if he allowed you to go on vacation so some waiter gets saved? And you're so busy resting, you missed your shot. I'm going to wear you out with this to the day I die. Right? And sooner or later, every once in a while, some of you come back with a story. Wow, this happened. I was in this situation. I told. I'm like, yes. And then we got to disciple them once they get saved. I could be done, but I'm not done. Philippians 2, we're running out of verses, so you're okay. Now, this is about as simply as I can put it in terms of who he was and what we're supposed to be about. Philippians 2, 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing, now look at this, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as better than himself. So let me just put a parenthesis in here. So one of the reasons I love being downtown is we got shelters close by. And we have a number of people who come here from the shelters. And you know what I love about us all being here together? Is it doesn't matter where you spent the night. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. So you say, well, but those are homeless people. They live in a shelter and I don't. Good for you. I bet they'd rather not be homeless too. But that doesn't make you better than anybody. And so when people come in here and realize they have value, everybody has the same value, regardless of what you drove here in or where you're going to go home or where you're going to go to lunch, nobody's better than anybody else. And this says to think more highly of others than yourself. And people who already feel like they're behind, they come in and go, well, I won't be welcome. And then they are welcome. And then their churches, sometimes they go to and walk in and go, I'm not welcome. And they're right. They are not welcome. And they know it. God help us if that ever happens to us. Esteem each other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Don't just think about your life. Help somebody else. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So this is how he thought. This is how you think. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
So if you're trying to figure out how to live your life, I'm not a fan of what would Jesus do. I don't care about that. I need a bracelet that says, let Jesus be Jesus. If you're a Christian, he's moved in. If he lives in you, let him live through you. You don't have to ask him what he would do. Just let him do it. Get out of the way. If he tells you to ask someone, if you drop dead, where would you go? Ask him. If you are a VIP because you think so or others say you are, then you aren't. When you discover that you are a VIP because God says you are, then you are. And then you can handle it. Because when you're a very important person to him and you understand what that means, that is a humbling experience, not an arrogant experience. And then you can go boldly, like Hebrews 4 talks about, going boldly before the throne of grace. You say, well, how could you do that? That sounds like you think you're somebody. I'm just his child, that's all. There's an old picture of, I think it's JFK at the Resolute desk in the White House, and his son, anybody ever seen this picture? There's a little door in the bottom of the Resolute desk, and that door is open, and his little boy is down under that desk. The President of the United States is sitting at the desk, and a little boy is playing under the desk. That's the kind of access I have. You say, well, you can't let some little kid in the Oval Office unless it's his son. And I am a very important person because a very important person moved inside me. And he is my only hope and can be yours.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.